This is The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott, and this story is from our episode, The Other Side of the Moon. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. For centuries, writers, doctors, and scientists believed that the moon could affect our moods and cause erratic behavior. The word lunacy has its root in lunar. And maybe you're rolling your eyes right now. I know. It's an idea that's been considered to be nonsense for a long time. But reporter Liz Tung talked with two scientists whose research on a devastating mental illness brought them to the moon.
Our story begins with a guy named Michael.
Good morning.
He asked that we not use his last name because his story gets pretty personal. Anyway, Michael and I talked on the phone the day after the 4th of July.
Well, tired. Last night was quite an adventure.
That's because Michael works with horses. And as it turns out, horses do not like fireworks.
They get really anxious, act out, do a lot of things, get themselves in trouble.
In fact, Michael spent the entire night making house calls. He didn't sleep a wink, which is very unusual for Michael. That's because for him, getting a good night's sleep can be a matter of life and death.
Really, the whole sleep-wake cycle is so pivotal to your biochemical processes.
Michael's journey to figuring that out began in his early 30s. That's when he was diagnosed with rapid cycling bipolar disorder. More on that in a sec. Up until that point, his life was good. He had a job, a family, but then things went south. He got divorced, was laid off from his job, and then he got in a serious car accident.
And got a severe concussion and what I now know is a big head injury. And after that, I started not being able to sleep.
Michael had always been a pretty regular sleeper, but at this point, it was like all the things that had once anchored his life disappeared. He had no job to get up for in the morning, no wife and kids to spend time with. And because he was short on money, Michael had to move from his family's waterfront home into a trailer that belonged to a friend.
I had no money. I was unemployed, just squalid conditions, just absolutely nothing.
The trailer got almost zero sunlight, and soon Michael's sleep schedule had gone totally haywire. He'd sleep 12 hours one night and then barely at all the next. He stopped seeing friends, found himself drinking heavily, and then he started having massive mood swings.
I mean, you can be in the deep, deep depths of depression and think, I'm going to close my eyes and I'm not going to wake up in the morning. And all of a sudden you wake up when the sun rises, the birds are singing, and you're like, wow, where have I been?
Michael had no idea what was going on. All he knew was that his life seemed to be falling apart.
I was in a severe downward spiral.
Eventually, Michael went to the doctor and was diagnosed with rapid cycling bipolar disorder. With bipolar, people experience shifts between two extremes, depression and mania. With regular bipolar, that happens maybe 2 to 3 times a year. But with rapid cycling, it can happen a lot faster. Michael found himself switching several times a month between depression and mania, and it was hell.
And it was hard. It was frustrating. And sometimes I had to withdraw entirely and just go walk out in the woods and scream and, you know, get the energy, the pace, you know, a lot. And then it would pass.
Michael's doctor prescribed him a string of medications, but he says they just seemed to make things worse. And Michael was losing hope of ever figuring out what was going on with him. So he did the one thing he could think of to try and figure this thing out.
I took out a journal and I started to write down data. And all I could think of to do is write down when you go to sleep, when you got up, what'd you eat that day? What was the weather like? What was the moon phase? You know, all these things. I thought, something's going on here.
By 2004, Michael had hit an all-time low. He was suicidal, had grown psychotic from the lack of sleep. So he did the last thing he could think of to save himself. He checked into a local hospital in Seattle.
And he presented to me a sleep log that he had kept over the previous 4 months because he noted that his sleep-wake cycle had a very clear pattern to it associated with his mood swings.
That's Dr. David Avery, the inpatient psychiatrist who was assigned to take care of Michael. And what David saw in Michael's log was a very strange but very regular sleeping pattern.
His sleep was such that every 15 days, he would sleep for only about 0 to 2 hours per night.
2 hours of sleep and be fine. It wouldn't bother me.
And during that, he would become manic. Then 7 days after,
when I had no energy at all,
he would sleep for a long period of time and be depressed.
I'd go to sleep. I'd go to bed at like 6 in the afternoon and get up and struggle to get up at 6 the next day.
And that pattern continued, alternating between short sleep and long sleep over a 4-month period.
I knew keeping the data that, wait a minute, why is this happening? There's a swing going on here.
It was so regular that David, the psychiatrist, figured there had to be some external force causing Michael's sleep pattern to oscillate from week to week, back and forth, from short sleep to long sleep. But what that force could be, he had no idea. As it turned out, across the country in Bethesda, Maryland, another researcher was working on the very same question. A retired psychiatrist and researcher at the National Institute of Mental Health named Tom Ware.
For many years, I have done research on mood disorders and sleep and circadian rhythms.
Tom is being modest here. He's a world-leading expert on circadian rhythms and mood disorders. In fact, he, along with another colleague, were the ones who first discovered seasonal affective disorder, or SAD.
And we developed light treatment for winter depression.
Tom first got interested in rapid cycling bipolar disorder in the early 70s. That's when he first started seeing patients with this unusual form of the illness.
The changes were very dramatic. Somebody who had been sort of quiet and withdrawn for weeks would just gradually become very outgoing and bubbly and enthusiastic and get really busy and just even look different, you know?
It was like the most extreme version of an illness that deals in extremes. So Tom thinks to himself, if I ever want to understand bipolar or mood disorders in general, this is what I need to be studying. So he decides to pull back and begin with a broad view.
So I was sort of, at the beginning, not really pursuing a specific hypothesis, but I was kind of more like a 19th century naturalist.
He enlisted about 20 patients, and instead of just looking at one thing or trying some specific intervention, he looked at everything. Their diet, their sleep patterns, their hormones, motor activity, blood work, and, of course, their moods.
I was convinced that there were some very powerful biological forces at play in that illness, but we knew so little about it that I thought we should just keep an open mind.
His hope was that by tracking everything, they'd be able to see if a pattern was emerging, the thing that was causing people to switch from mania to depression and back. Gathering the data took a lot of time. But in the 90s, Tom made a discovery that started getting to the root of what causes the switch between moods in people with rapid cycling bipolar disorder.
It turns out if someone is depressed in this way and you simply ask them to stay awake all night, about 2/3 of the time that person will become manic.
In 1996, Tom and his colleagues released a study showing that lack of sleep was the number one predictor of rapid cycling subjects switch from depression to mania. They'd already known that sleep disturbances are a part of bipolar disorder. Depression meant lots of sleep, mania hardly any. But what this study showed about sleep was that
it's not just a symptom. It's also part of the cause of the illness.
Let me repeat that. Sleep disturbances weren't just a symptom of bipolar. They were part of the cause. It was a landmark finding. The study's been cited nearly 200 times and led to changes in how bipolar disorder is treated. Sleep is now considered an important part of managing symptoms. But for Tom, even that wasn't enough. It didn't answer the question of the ultimate cause.
Some of these cycles seemed so precise that it was hard to understand how a purely biological process could produce that degree of precision. And I started thinking, you know, is there some external signal that's kind of controlling the time of this?
If you think about our wake and sleep schedule, night and day, you start thinking about the sun and the moon. That's what we've used for centuries to mark time. So Tom started looking at the moon.
There's always been a popular belief that the moon is somehow affecting human behavior.
A belief, sure, but one that's mostly been debunked by science. And in fact, when Tom looked at the data, he couldn't find a connection, at least at first. The moon and sleep cycles did not seem to correspond with the moon's phases. So Tom kept on thinking. When he had time, he'd take the data out from the 20 or so patients that he'd started following back in the 1970s. He'd pore over the cycling patterns and then put it away again. This went on for more than three decades.
I think it really took years and years. I'd hesitate to put a number on it.
Finally, in the 2010s, Tom had a break in the case. He thought, what if these mood cycles did have something to do with the moon, just not in the way he'd thought? All of these past moon studies, they'd looked at people's health and behavior in relation to the moon's light. But it occurred to Tom that thanks to electricity...
You know, we don't get much exposure to moonlight in the modern world. I think most people are not even aware at any particular time, you know, what phase the moon is in.
So we thought, what if there were another kind of lunar cycle influencing people's sleep? So Tom had to think, what else is the moon connected with besides the light in the sky? The answer? The ocean's tides. To help explain how the moon influences the tides, I enlisted astronomer Derek Pitts.
The moon actually pulls the Earth's ocean's water, and it pulls that water towards the moon.
That pull leads to high tides, which happen roughly twice per day. But here's the catch. The sun, the Earth, and the moon are all on their own schedules.
A solar day is the length of time it takes the Earth to rotate on its axis once under the sun.
24 hours. A lunar day, on the other hand, is slightly different.
In that, as the Earth rotates on its axis in a solar day, the moon also moves slightly in its orbit around the Earth. So for one point on the Earth to return to the exact same location pointed at the moon, you also have to add the degree to which the moon has moved. So that makes it one lunar day. And that lunar day is 24 hours, 50 minutes, as opposed to just 24 hours for a solar day.
You can think of it like the hands on a watch, with the Earth being the second hand and the moon being the minute hand. It should take 60 ticks for the second hand to align with the minute hand, except that the minute hand is moving too. So every time they line up, it takes one tick more for the second hand to catch up with the minute hand. It takes the Earth an extra 50 minutes every day to catch up with the moon. Now, there's one more thing. Twice a month, the Earth, the Sun, and the Moon all line up, causing the very strongest pull on the oceans, which give us the very highest tides, also known as spring tides. It also happens to coincide with the full moon or the new moon. And here's what Tom noticed. His patients' sleep schedules seem to be following the lunar tidal cycle. In the same way that the high tides happened 50 minutes later every day, the time his patients were waking up was also shifting a little later every day.
They would stretch the duration of sleep longer and longer and longer.
During the lowest tides of the month, they might sleep as much as 12 hours a night, until finally...
And then, at a certain point, shift and cause sleep to be very short, again, as the lunar-controlled network would go on around the clock.
The highest tides of the month would hit, and they wouldn't sleep at all, which meant that's when they were most likely to shift into mania. So that was what Tom put together based on the data from his 20 or so patients. There was just one problem. The relationship was not exact. It wasn't like every spring tide, every patient would go into mania, at least none that Tom had heard of. Until, that is, he heard about Michael. David, the psychiatrist from Seattle, had read about Tom's work, about this whole moon gravitational idea. And that prompted him to go back and check out the log that Michael had kept of his sleep patterns. And as it turned out, Michael was a perfect match. His mania fell on exactly the days of the bi-monthly high tides or spring tides. For Tom, it was a validation for his theory. And for David, it was a thrilling chance to work with one of his scientific heroes.
There were all these complex rhythms, and Dr. Weir's brilliance comes from being able to recognize the lunar cycles within those patterns and making that connection.
They published a paper together in 2018 using Michael as their case study. In that paper, they put forward a possible explanation as to why it is that the moon's tidal cycle could be throwing off people's sleep schedules. It all goes back to a little gadget in our brains called the circadian pacemaker. It's basically like our internal clock. It governs not only when we sleep and wake up, but all of our biological processes. When we get hungry, when we have energy, the release of different hormones. And the thing that sets the internal clock is the sun, or more specifically, light. Or at least that's the way it's supposed to work. Here's Tom again.
There is some evidence that people who have bipolar illness, these clock mechanisms run a little bit slower.
Once someone's internal clock falls out of sync with the sun, it becomes vulnerable to syncing up with something else, namely the gravitational pull of the moon. But the clock doesn't uncouple from the sun completely.
It's sort of a battle between the sun and the moon for control of the system.
Tom and David published their studies in the journal Nature. And while the theory contradicts common wisdom about the moon and human behavior, the bipolar experts I talked to said the study seemed sound. As for Michael, he features prominently in the study. And he says for him, getting on a regular sleep schedule changed his life.
I was really disciplined because I was scared that whatever was going on in my head was going to be permanent and that this was my only weapon against it.
He also says the findings offered him a sense of redemption.
It's hard to describe. It's, I don't know how to say it in a way that people would understand. It personally, for me, restored a lot of my faith in God because I was in such a dark period of time. And I cried out to God. And he sent me Dr. Avery. He helped me get out. And when Avery contacted me and said, I'm writing this paper, I found this data, and you're going to help so many people. I thought, I understand, Lord, why I had to go through this. And I hope that that's the purpose of it.
As for his very special relationship with the moon,
I will have to admit, I mean, last night was pretty smoky around here with all the fireworks and cloudy, but every now and then the moon would peek out, and I did catch myself every now and then look at the moon going, huh, I wonder.
For The Pulse, I'm Liz Tung.